Psalm 37, as we continue our study here through this wonderful psalm. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I've mentioned often as we've looked at Psalm 37 that though it's written several thousand years ago, the truth is so relevant for us today, and that's because the author, it transcends man. He's eternal, and he's outside of time, and I'm so thankful for our wonderful God and for His Word that He has blessed us with. And last week, we had the opportunity to look at the passage of Scripture here in verses 18 down through 20, and really just rejoicing and being encouraged by the truth that the Lord knoweth the days of the righteous, or the upright. And what a blessing to be reminded of the fact that though there are times in our lives where we face uncertain days, that our God knows all about it. He knows what's going to happen. He's promised to be with us. He has a purpose and a plan, and for that we ought to rejoice. This evening, we find that there's an observation that is made with regard to the generosity of the righteous. And that'll be the focus of our study this evening. Before we get to that particular observation that will take the time of our study this evening, it is important to note what the Bible says about the wicked, because there's an observation made about the wicked here as well. And notice what it says in Psalm 37 and verse number 21. The Bible says of the wicked that they borroweth and payeth not again. And again, that's not the focus of our study this evening, but when we see this statement that is made, this observation that is made with regard to the behavior of the wicked, it says that they borrow and they pay not again. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. We would easily be able to say that this behavior described here in verse 21 in the beginning of the verse of Scripture is behavior that lacks honesty and lacks integrity. It ought never be said of a child of God that they borrow and pay not. If you're to borrow, if you're to assume some level of debt, it's absolutely imperative that we satisfy that debt. But I want you to notice the end of verse 21 and into verse number 22. It'll be the focus of our study this evening. The contrast, the wicked borroweth and payeth not, but notice, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. This evening I've titled the study, The Generosity of the Righteous. The Generosity of the Righteous. I want you, if you're taking notes this evening, to note first of all with me the behavior of the righteous. We find at the end of verse number 21 that there are two things that are noted with regard to the behavior of the individual that is referred to as being righteous. I've mentioned already, and we've seen throughout this psalm, that this individual that is referred to as being righteous, it's also that same person is referred to as the upright, and we notice that in our previous study in verse 18. But we notice here that the observation is made with regard to the behavior of this individual, the one that's righteous, and we find that there are two things that are mentioned. The first is this, that the righteous showeth mercy. The righteous showeth mercy. And I'm so thankful that I've received mercy, and what a blessing it is to then show mercy. And we find here that this observation is made. It's interesting, over in the book of Matthew, and you don't need to turn there. I'll just reference the verse, read it quickly, and we'll get right back to Psalm 37. But in Matthew 5, at the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, we often refer to them. The Bible says this in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And what a blessing to think about the righteous individual being observed, that their behavior, their actions are being observed. And here the Bible says that the righteous showeth mercy. This isn't someone that is righteous that's saying, "Hey, I am a merciful person." Nor really is it a command that the righteous is to be merciful. Rather, it's an observation. I'm not suggesting that there's not a command that the righteous are to be merciful, but we really see that the Bible simply states as observation, as a behavior of that one that is righteous, is that they show mercy. notice with me not only the behavior of the righteous, that first of all they show mercy, but we notice at the end of the verse, it simply says this, and giveth. The righteous are benevolent. They're merciful and benevolent. You think about that as we begin to understand the observation that is made here and this truth with regard to the behavior of the righteous, that they're showing mercy and they're benevolent, they give. When we begin to think about their behavior, it leads me to not only note their behavior, but number two, to consider the belief of the righteous. I've often said, and I'm convinced in my own life, that belief impacts behavior. What you believe impacts how you behave. But the truth goes a step further, and here's what I would say, that behavior reveals what you believe. And so it's one thing for us to state our beliefs. It's one thing for us to share, to put on some type of outline. Here's what I believe. But the reality is that your behavior reveals what you really believe. And so this evening, as we begin to notice the behavior, this observation that is made of the righteous, that they showeth mercy and giveth, then I must dig a step further and say, well, what is it that causes them to behave that way? Why is it that it's said of the righteous that they show mercy? Why is it that it's said of the righteous that they give? What is it? What is the belief that drives that behavior? Because this evening, it is understood that what you believe should impact how you behave. I believe, first of all, as we look at this observation of these that are referred to as being righteous, that you would note that what they believe and what they understand to be true is that God is merciful. I'm so thankful this evening that our God is merciful. I'm so thankful this evening that the Bible declares that His mercy endureth forever. Isn't that a blessing? I'm reminded of the great truth. Look over the book of Ephesians, if you will, and we'll note a few verses throughout the New Testament here as we consider what it is that the righteous believe that would drive their behavior, that would cause them to behave in such a way, in this manner, that they are merciful and benevolent. I believe that understanding that God is merciful and that I am to be like Him. I could never be as merciful as God is. It's impossible. But because our God is merciful and we are to be like Him, then we too ought to be merciful. We ought to show mercy. Notice in Ephesians 2 in verse number 4, but God, oh, I love this, who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Not only would they have the understanding, the belief that God is merciful, and we see it throughout the Old Testament. We are very well aware of the fact that God has declared and demonstrated His mercy in the Old Testament. In fact, we find that Nehemiah 9 and verse 17 describes God this way, that Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Wow, God is merciful. Not only do they believe that God is merciful, but I believe that the righteous, why is it that the righteous showeth mercy? Why are the righteous merciful? Well, because God is merciful, but I would also say this, because we are the direct recipients of His mercy. You know, the truth, and I understand that this verse doesn't speak of mercy or showing mercy, but the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. What is it that leads to that forgiveness? Mercy, no doubt, is part of that. And so we find this evening, because I have been the direct recipient of mercy, then it ought to lead me to a place where I am showing mercy. The righteous, as the behavior of the righteous is observed, as this declaration is made in Psalm 37 and verse 21, the Bible says that the righteous, they showeth mercy. Why is it? Well, because our God is merciful. and because I'm the direct recipient of His mercy. Can I tell you this evening? I didn't deserve God's mercy, and neither did you. The reality is, if we deserved it, it's not mercy any longer. The very definition of mercy reveals to us that we don't deserve it. And what a blessing that is. I'm so thankful this evening to be the direct recipient of God's mercy. But the Bible doesn't end with just saying that the righteous showeth mercy. The Bible continues, and it's a simple statement. The Bible says, and giveth, and giveth. I mentioned that word benevolent would be descriptive of this behavior of the righteous. Why is it that the righteous would be benevolent? Well, we'd understand this evening that God is benevolent. One of the most quoted verses of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." And we understand that God is benevolent. And we understand this evening that everything that we have, I mean, as a child of God, as we've studied the Word of God, as we have grown in our walk with Christ, we understand biblically that all that we have and all that we are is because of God. It's because of His good hand upon us. And so as we look at this truth of being benevolent, why is it that the righteous giveth? Well, because we understand that we have received, that God has graciously given to us. Every time we think about giving, we think monetarily, but it's not always in the terms of money. We find this evening that there are plenty of examples of that truth, and we'll look at a few of them. Go over to the book of 1 Chronicles, if you will. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is absolutely my favorite passage of Scripture with regard to the subject matter of giving, and specifically speaking of monetary giving. And it's my favorite passage of Scripture because the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 9 says that God loveth a cheerful giver. And as we look at 1 Chronicles 29, we will not have the time this evening to look at the entirety of this passage of Scripture, but as we consider the work here, the record here, I should say, of 1 Chronicles 29, I believe that unlike any other passage in the Word of God, this passage demonstrates a cheerful giver, cheerful givers. We find that they are rejoicing greatly. If you were to read just the center of the text of 1 Chronicles 29, if you were to remove the beginning and latter portions of this chapter and just read in the middle, you might believe that the children of Israel under David's leadership are rejoicing and worshiping because of some great victory, perhaps over the Philistines or some other group of people, and they're just rejoicing greatly. But when you read the entire context, you find that the reason, the cause of this great rejoicing is that they were able to give to the work of God. By the way, to a work, the temple is the work that they're giving to. It's a temple that David would never see. It's a temple that David would never worship in, but he was giving. Notice what he says in verse 14. Well, I'll read verse 13 with it. "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Notice what he says, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand, and of thine own have we given thee. For all things come of thee." That's a proper biblical perspective of the things that we have. We understand the good hand of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 18 talks about it's God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. People have this idea, I've gotten all this on my own. No, God's given you the ability. He's given you the ability to think, the ability to work. Whatever ability He has given you, it's His enabling, it's His grace. And so we find that we recognize as a child of God, we come to the same place that David comes to, and we say, "For all things come of thee." And what a blessing that I now have an opportunity to give back to you. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, why is it, we're trying to determine this evening, why is it that this behavior is observed? Why is it that the psalmist says that the righteous, They showeth mercy and giveth. Why? Well, because of what they believe, what they understand about God. Because belief impacts our behavior, and they understand that God is merciful, that they're the recipients of God's mercy. They understand that God is benevolent, that all things that we have are a result of His good hand, and therefore we show mercy and we give. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" Notice this question, "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Now, really, as you begin to look at some of the things that are going on here within the church at Corinth and the schisms and divisions and all that's taking place, there are people that are, of course, we'll get deeper into it as you study through the book of 1 Corinthians, really dealing with the truth of spiritual gifts. And understanding that there was a certain measure of pride because of possessing a particular spiritual gift over some other spiritual gift. But we understand that the Bible, as you continue to read the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, listen, the Holy Spirit of God giveth as He wills to all men. And so we find here that we can answer this question, and we understand, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? When we couple this truth with what we found of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14, he says, all things come of thee. What a proper perspective. And oh, how it helps us in our own lives to gain that perspective. Look at James 1 and a very familiar verse of Scripture. James 1 and verse number 17. See, what we believe impacts how we behave. What we believe needs to be founded upon the truth of God's Word. And as we study the Word of God, as we allow the Word of God to impact and change our lives and develop what it is that we believe, then we begin to behave in accordance with the Word of God. In verse 17 of James 1, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You see, the term every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I'll show you one more verse of Scripture over the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. You see that in verse number 3, the Bible says this, 2 Peter 1, in verse number 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us," what has He given us? "All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." He goes through the importance of the growth and all that will take place in the next several verses and that sanctification, that spiritual growth. But you notice that the Bible says that He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This evening, why is the observation made in Psalm 37 in verse number 21 that the righteous showeth mercy and giveth? Because their belief impacted their behavior. What they believed about God, what they understood about God, impacted how they lived their life. And it's observed that the righteous, they show mercy. It ought to be said of us that we're merciful people. Why? Our God is merciful, and we're to be like Him. According to Romans 8 and verse 29, we are to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. According to what Peter said, Jesus, He has left us an example that we should follow His steps. So we find that we have been the recipients of His mercy, that He is merciful, and therefore we too are to show mercy. And then you find that He giveth. He's benevolent. Oh, that it would be said of the people of God that we are givers, that we are good stewards of what God has given us, that we want to, as the songwriter said, channels only. Lord, help us to be a channel, a conduit of Your blessing, understanding that I've received these things from You and now I get to give them. What a blessing. And it's not always just about monetary things. And I'm so thankful that God has demonstrated to us throughout His Word over and over that He is a benevolent God. He gives. Every good thing, everything that we have is because of God, Notice with me back in Psalm 37 as we conclude this evening. We notice in verse 22 as we consider the thought of the righteous, and we note the behavior of the righteous. We then consider the belief. What is it that this righteous person believes that would cause them to behave in this way? But then I want you to notice in verse 22, consider with me number three this evening, the blessing for the righteous. The Bible says, for such as be blessed of him, notice what it says, shall inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Again, the first part of verse 21 dealt with the wicked, and the latter part of verse number 22 will deal with the same group of people of being cut off. Our focus this evening is on the righteous. And here we find the Bible says, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. It's interesting, this is the third time that this phrase, shall inherit the earth, is mentioned in Psalm 37. It's the final time, it's the third and final time that we see this reference in Psalm 37. We mentioned it in verse number 9, where the Bible says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. The second reference in verse number 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And then we see in verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. A third reference to this promise, I believe, in view here, no doubt, is the millennial reign of Christ. We see the ultimate fulfillment of this truth of the righteous or the upright, the meek, as the Bible mentions in verse number 11, those that wait upon the Lord is the reference in verse number 9, that the ultimate fulfillment of inheriting the earth will be during the millennial reign of Christ. And why is it that this is repeated three times? I'd offer this thought again this evening as we look at this portion of Scripture and we consider Psalm 37. We are confronted with the importance of developing and maintaining an eternal perspective. As you look at the psalmist in Psalm 37, and he begins to talk about, right at the start of the chapter, dealing with, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, and thinking about all that we can look at and begin to see, and we begin to think, even as the Psalm of Asaph there in Psalm 73, where I see the prosperity of the wicked. But God wants us to develop and then maintain an eternal perspective. So he says, listen, the blessing for the righteous is that they shall inherit the earth. Again, looking beyond today, looking beyond this temporal life and looking to the eternal. I'm so thankful that this world is not my home. I'm so thankful that all of this down here isn't all there is to life. You know what I mean? I'm so thankful. He said that we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And what a joy and what a blessing. Some of you may have gotten some of your statements in recent days of some investments. And man, if you had investments in 2022, you see not very good rates of return and all of that sort of thing. And we could get discouraged by that. We can see those things. Listen, I'm thankful that this temporary life is not all that there is. Look to eternity, because the blessing for the righteous is that they shall inherit the earth. And once again, we're confronted with this truth of how important it is that we as the people of God do not live short-sighted. We do not live with just a temporal focus, but we have that eternal perspective. We can understand that we must develop and then maintain that perspective. So we note here in these verses of Scripture the generosity of the righteous. Show mercy, give. Why? Because of what we believe, what we understand our God to be, and who He is has changed our lives. He saved us. He changed us. He gave us a different perspective. And we as the people of God are to be merciful and we're to be benevolent. And there's a blessing for us and we can rejoice greatly in the truth of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to study through Psalm 37. We're thankful once again to be confronted with this truth and the importance of developing, maintaining an eternal perspective. I pray, God, that as our lives would be observed, as we note here with the psalmist making this statement, this declaration in verse 21, I pray that it would be said of us as your people that we are merciful, we are benevolent. Those that would observe our behavior would say, that's an individual that shows mercy. That's an individual that gives. Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you that you have declared that you are rich in mercy and then to be the recipients of your mercy. Oh, how thankful we are. I pray that you'd help us to be regularly reminded of this wonderful truth and that we would allow what we believe to impact how we behave. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. We pray that as we take time this evening to pray together as a church family, I pray, God, that you would visit with us. I pray that you'd be pleased. I pray that you'd work and move as only you can. We'll be careful to give the honor and glory for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.